T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Breaking Bears news, Cam Newton signs with the Bears.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin is in for Mike Mulligan this week, and no, Cam Newton did not sign with the Bears. That was just being prepared for the event that he would, or maybe he still might. I think there's some people out there, Zach, that still believe Cam Newton, who received his official release from the Carolina Panthers yesterday, would make some sense for the Bears to bring into the quarterback room, even after the trade for Nick Foles, even after the commitment to, quasi-commitment to Mitchell Trubisky. Can you ever have enough quality quarterbacks to create competition if one truly exists with the Bears heading into next season? As for Cam Newton's health, he was cleared with a physical earlier this week in Atlanta. He was said to be healthy, hungry to prove the Panthers wrong, and ready to go. That said, I've got some real issues with whether or not it doesn't make any sense to the Bears for me. I understand why there would be conversation, but if Cam Newton is the question, the answer came this week from Ron Rivera, who went after Kyle Allen and gave up a draft pick to trade for Kyle Allen with the Panthers, knowing full well he could have waited a couple days to get his old quarterback for just money and not have to give up a draft pick. So that was the answer for me, Zach.
I think Ron Rivera has watched every game that Cam Newton has played in the National Football League. If he felt that he could still be a player that you could trust, then he likely would have made a deal for him. And that tells you everything you need to know. When's the last time anyone watched Cam Newton thinking, boy, I wish that guy was the quarterback on my team? It's been a long time since you felt that way. Years. Years, not one season, and I know he only played two games last year. It's been years since that happened, probably 2016, when he had the first surgery on the shoulder. You know, since that time, we're talking two surgeries on the shoulder, foot surgery. You don't know if he's healthy. You're not going to be able to find out if he's healthy. This is clearly not a normal NFL offseason, so you're not going to be able to incorporate a guy and have him learn a new offense the way you usually would. You don't even know if you're going to have a real training camp. You don't even know if you're going to have a season, a full season. So with all those question marks up in the air, I think the Bears actually made the right move at the quarterback position, trading for a guy who knows the system, knows the verbiage in Nick Foles. And if they do what I think they're trying to do this offseason, which is upgrade the offense around Mitchell Trubisky, maybe you actually give Trubisky an opportunity to be a little bit of a better player. You tweak your offensive philosophy slightly to complement what the Bears have going defensively, which is what they didn't do for a variety of reasons last season. We had Brian Baldinger on the show yesterday in the most diplomatic way possible. What did he tell you about the Bears offense? It stinks.
They're not very good.
He told you it stinks. It's a bunch of gimmicky stuff, and it's hard to win that way. He was talking about the Ravens having difficulty winning a playoff game because they run gimmicks. But you know why they got to the playoffs? Because they truly committed to the run. Because they understood what it took for them to play complementary football. They have a really good defense. They have a number of good offensive pieces in terms of being able to have the philosophy that you need of running the football and owning time of possession. And they did that well and got to the playoffs when they had to use the gimmicks. They couldn't win a playoff game. But with the Bears, just get to the playoffs first. You do that by complementing a great defense and committing to the run.
As I texted you yesterday, Zach, after Baldinger's segment, that was as polite of a put-down as you're going to hear, but it was a put-down, and it was a valid
right.
criticism, and he was right, and he's on the outside looking in, and he has got the perspective of not being in Chicago, but just watching, and you know, Baldy, he trusts what he sees on tape, and on tape you saw an offense that was lost last year and a quarterback that reflected that, so 312-644-6767. What do you think the Bears should do with the Cam Newton question? Because do you agree with the texter who, 815, if the Bears could get Cam on a one-year prove-it deal, do you think they would cut Mitch right away? No chance of that happening. But I do think that Cam Newton, I agree with you. When was the last time that he was a guy you looked at and you said, boy, I need one of those? It's been a while, Zach. But health has contributed to that. That, to me, is the overriding question. If you got Cam Newton at this stage of his career, and I think he's a relatively young man in the NFL quarterback landscape, because when you look at I think he's early 30s, he could still recapture that if he were healthy. You've seen him be a guy that can carry a team. I just think that this the oddness or oddity of this offseason, because of the medical limitations, they tell you to stay away from a guy with as many risks involved as Cam Newton brings.
This offense is foreign to him. You don't know if he's got an arm anymore after the two shoulder surgeries. You don't know if he has the mobility, which is such a huge part to his game, after the foot surgery. I mean, this isn't one of those simple, this isn't a simple injury that he's trying to come back from. I just don't think it makes any sense. The best case scenario would be if Mitchell Trubisky somehow takes that next step. But rather than hope that that happens, the Bears have put themselves in a position where if it doesn't happen immediately, they've protected themselves, taking a guy off the bench in Nick Foles that can come in and do, in my opinion, a dramatically better job than what we've seen the last couple of years out of Chase Daniel. I can't ignore what we saw from Nick Foles as a backup quarterback his final two seasons in Philadelphia. You know, last year he obviously got hurt in Jacksonville and never got the opportunity to really be the quarterback that he was in Philly.
Well, you have to look at that as if Mitch Trubisky is your week one starter, don't get too disappointed. Don't get too excited. I mean, when they traded Nick Foles, he arrives. He's the best reliever in town. You know, this is a guy who's a better reliever than he is a starter. And so if he's pressed into that situation again, you know what he's going to do? He's going to shrug. He's going to say no big deal. He doesn't need to be the guy. He doesn't need the adulation. The guy has a statue of himself erected outside the football stadium the Eagles play in Philadelphia. This is somebody who has been to the top and knows what it's like and is not going to be rattled by being a backup heading into a season that he still could impact more than the starter. Zach, the Cam Newton conversation is certainly it was expected and predictable and understandable, even given the state of the Bears and given actually the state of sports this week, because any free agent that's out there, we're going to try to kind of fit in, does he fit with the Bears? The other guy, to me, the more feasible, the more realistic, I don't know about realistic, but I think the more enticing option would be, we saw Trent Williams, his agent issued a statement to ESPN last night, and it begins, the Redskins and Trent Williams have reached a point where it's in the best interest that the Redskins trade or release Trent Williams. That to me is worth exploring more than Cam Newton.
Yes, but I don't think that and this is part of the problem when you're consistently using free agency to rewrite some of the mistakes that you've made early on in drafts. So the Bears don't have a lot of money to work with when it comes to the salary cap. You have to start drafting some of the answers. I mean, they have to make the trade for Nick Foles, because if Nick Foles was cut by the Jaguars, there's no guarantee that Foles would have wanted to come here. So you get him, but that's $21 million guaranteed after the trade. They signed Jimmy Graham, and you can argue whether or not he was the right answer at the tight end position, and I completely understand that. But any tight end that they would have acquired would have been someone that they would have had to spend some money on. But the reason that they had to spend some money on Trey Burton in the first place is because they swung and missed when it comes to Adam Shaheen. The reason that they had to spend money on Graham or any tight end, they added two. They also added Demetrius Harris into the mix as well. So they brought in two tight ends that kind of understand the system that they're running. But the reason you brought in Graham is because the last two big tight end splashes were swings and misses. And then they have to go out and make the big signing for Robert Quinn because they swung and missed on Leonard Floyd. So while you're doing that every single season, you're unable to go out and impact the other areas of your football team. But that's why you have to take advantage of the draft. I mean, the reason they signed Allen Robinson to the big deal is because they swung and missed on Kevin White. You know, so I feel like year in, year out, you're trying to replace positions that you thought you already had, and it prevents you from getting that alternate receiver that you can trust. Or
what do you think?
Going out there and getting the offensive lineman that you need.
What do you think, Bears fans? Would you give up one or both second-round draft picks to get in the Trent Williams conversation? He is an offensive lineman that would solidify and anchor your offensive line, which needs solidified and anchored. Let's go out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. John is in Rolling Meadows. Hey, John, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, guys, I hope you're staying safe, because this is something that you don't want to mess with, definitely. About this quarterback situation, I think they got the guy they wanted, and because they have to pay him $21 million, you already have one quarterback that's having trouble grasping this. You don't want to bring in another quarterback that's going to have trouble with it, because you're going to end up putting one of these quarterbacks, temporarily anyway, on the taxi squad. Because you can't carry three quarterbacks. You just don't have the room for that. And there isn't a quarterback that's going to come in that is going to be possibly put on a taxi squad. These two, you know, you're talking about bringing in a quarterback that's been a starter pretty much his whole career and maybe making the team. I think if he can get a tape out showing everybody what his routine is and that he's healthy and that he can play, I think teams like the Chargers, I think teams that actually need a quarterback will have him come in and talk to him and maybe give him a one-year deal and start him.
Oh, thanks, John. Thanks for the phone call. I think the Chargers make a little bit of sense. I think that I'm intrigued by the possibilities of Cam Newton going to New England and going to the Patriots as a humbled Cam Newton, as a somebody who is committed to reinventing himself at this stage of his career. And if he can stay healthy, it's fascinating to me, Zach, what Josh McDaniels could do if Cam Newton is as healthy as people say, and he is motivated by the one-year contract, the prove it implications of that deal. And in that offense structured around him, how dangerous, it would be fascinating to follow.
Usually Bill Belichick stockpiles Rutgers players. I don't think he's stockpiling former Auburn quarterbacks. He's already got one who at least right now is their number one in Jared Stidham.
What a better
Newton
mentor.
Be in the mix.
Yeah, War Eagle, right?
Yeah.
No?
By the way, do you want the, no, I don't think that's happening. But because to me, Tom Brady, even though he's 43, is younger physically than Cam Newton is at 30, after all the injuries and hits that Newton has taken. And as we've seen over the years from Bill Belichick, he would rather err on the side of caution, meaning saying goodbye to a player a year or two early than signing a guy who's over the hill a year or two late.
He's Zach Zegman. He's in for Mike Mulligan. Continue the football conversation when we get back. Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zegman in for Mully this week, and we're going to talk about the NFL draft, Zach, in a moment, and the GM subcommittee that voted 6-1 yesterday to recommend to Roger Goodell that they push the draft back because of the limited scouting and research and visits and medicals that they can conduct because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But first, let's jump out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Gideon from Des Plaines has some thoughts on Cam Newton. Good morning, Gideon.
Morning. It's a good morning when you can discuss football. So I have a few things that I want to ask about. One, Cam Newton might not find a starting job. Do you think he'd be a good backup to Russell Wilson? And then in terms of your Trent Williams comment about trading a pick for him, I'm worried about the number of picks that we have to fill the spots that we need. I think we need at least two offensive linemen. I think we need another receiver. We need another safety, possibly, and we need to look at cornerback as well. So that's, I think I named six positions there, or five positions there, and that's significant. I just want to throw this in. I heard you guys are playing the 17 games that the Cubs took to make it to the, or to win the World Series. The White Sox only needed 12 in 2005.
Touche. Good phone call, Gideon. Zach, in order, I think that Cam Newton as a backup anywhere is a tricky proposition. I don't know if he has the mindset or the ego to fit into that role. He wouldn't want to be the backup for long, but Seattle is intriguing. As for Trent Williams, yes, you don't have a lot of draft capital to use, but you're also talking about a 31-year-old, 7-time Pro Bowler, who, if you were ever going to consider giving up a draft pick for a guy at a position of need, it might be Trent Williams, and the offensive tackle from the Redskins.
You can't keep doing that. You just can't. How many times are you going to continue to give away draft capital? I get it when there's a player like Khalil Mack available that can change the fortune of your franchise. Yeah, you give up draft picks like the Bears did. You give up draft picks if you feel like you can get a quarterback that is going to be the answer. And they clearly felt that way when they made the trade up to number 2 to get Mitchell Trubisky. Enough with giving away the draft picks. You've got to hit on some of them. That's the only way you're going to change this, because as we've seen, this is what happens when you continue to give away draft picks and continue to try to build your team via free agency and through trades. You make the playoffs once every decade. You make the playoffs once every few years. That's not what the Bears are trying to do. The Bears are trying to sustain success. The reason that success has eluded them is because they keep going through this cycle of missing in the draft and then trying to fix that via free agency and giving away more draft picks to try and make trades. That's got to stop at some point.
I love it when you scold me, Zach. You're exactly right. I mean, you are so right. And I know that. But I think that every time a possibility comes up like this, you're tempted to kind of entertain that conversation, because Trent Williams on your offensive line would stabilize a group that was as shaky as they come. And as Baldy pointed out again yesterday in his polite put down of the Chicago Bears, this wasn't a group that's in the top half. This isn't a group that really, and when it's clicking on all cylinders, really makes an impact and allows you to run downhill. He would change that. So, but it's a difficult thing because you don't have many draft picks anyway. You don't have a first rounder. One of the second rounders, that might not get it done. You might need to throw in more than that. And it's a good point.
You can find, as we saw last year, and you saw it with a number of different receivers that were picked in the second round, you can find a difference-making wide receiver in round number two. This is supposed to be one of the deepest wide receiver drafts that the NFL has had in a long time. You better hit on the guy that you take. You don't just pay your GM and the personnel staff to go out and acquire guys via free agency and through trades. You also pay them to hit with draft picks. It's a difficult proposition, but you know what? The teams that are good are able to do it. Do the Bears have to fix their offense? Yes, it is a major problem. It was last season. But I think part of fixing that offense, and you've kind of seen them do this during the offseason, is tweaking the philosophy a little bit, which is, I think, why they brought in some of those new offensive assistants around Matt Nagy. Being a team that commits to the run more, because when you do that, and listen, everyone knew last season that Tennessee was going to run the football, especially in the playoffs, and they still dominated with the run. Everyone knew that San Francisco was going to commit to the run. They still did it via the run. And then after that, having the ability to create enough mismatches with your personnel that out of the same formation, you can do different things, not gimmicky things, but do the same things, do multiple things out of the same formations to fool a defense. That's the key for the Bears to fix their offense, not going out and spending money at every hole trying to fix that via free agency or through trades. Do it through the draft.
Two good examples of Titans and the 49ers that run the football, establish an identity, and did so by building through the draft. And speaking of the draft, Zach, the news last night was interesting to me. ESPN cited a source that said that the GM subcommittee, as we mentioned earlier, voted to recommend that Roger Goodell push back the draft from April 23rd because GMs are concerned in this current environment with all the off-season activities and facilities closed, not enough time for physicals, not enough time for testing and background checks and psychological testing, not enough time for interviews, and what's the rush? Because you can't have a typical off-season. Now, I know there are pros and cons to this. What I'm looking at it as, the draft is as important of an event and as important as you just pointed out, a process. You're building your whole philosophy. Your success is based on your hit and your miss rate in the NFL draft. Why not concede that this is an abnormal, unusual offseason, push it back a month, and say, this is the time that you wanted, this is the time we're going to give you to do the research necessary to feel good about these guys whose futures you're investing in. I like that idea. I think it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I understand the concern that the GMs have. I also understand the concern that Roger Goodell and the NFL folks have in terms of wanting to try to have some sort of continuity as they prepare for a variety of different options, given that we don't know how this thing is going to play out in terms of the virus. So I think that there are ways to be able to conduct a draft via the new way that all of us are working right now from home. You can, and I don't know if you do it via Zoom or FaceTime or whatever, but the technology is there, I think, to be able to hold a real draft. I think there's enough information, given the tapes that the players produced when they were in college and the information that you glean from the combine, including the medicals, to be able to make smart decisions on draft day. Now, I think, could there be a, do you give these teams more time so you don't run into a situation? Remember when the Bears drafted Gabe Kareemi in the first round, there was that big snafu, I think, with Baltimore, where the Bears asked for a trade and the information wasn't given to the NFL on time. Remember that whole deal?
Yeah, I do remember
deal?
That. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, but maybe you give teams a little bit more time, given the communication aspect of it, to make their moves. But I think you can get it done.
But, Zach, I just think that, okay, it's not like NFL free agency. We don't know if these prospects from, you know, even the Alabama, the Tennessee, the USC, the Notre Dames, the Penn States, the Texases, the programs that typically produce NFL talent, Ohio State, you think you know about these prospects, but you don't know as much about them as you do about the NFL free agents that allowed you to conduct business as usual during
David,
a pandemic.
David, the good teams do. David, the good teams do.
Really? If
they didn't just start the scouting process now. They've been doing this for years. At least
look,
the good teams
look,
have.
Zach, we killed Ryan Pace in this town and will continue to criticize the fact that he never had dinner with Deshaun Watson, okay? The Tribs deep dive revealed that and all of the stuff about he didn't meet with Deshaun Watson in person. These things matter. If they didn't, they wouldn't be doing
How did
them.
It help them with Mitchell Trubisky? How did it help him with Adam Shaheen? How did it help him with Kevin White? How did it help him with Leonard Floyd?
It didn't, obviously.
That's why I think you can always, we can always hear excuses on both sides. I think you can make smart decisions based on a guy's tape, what you know about a guy's background that you've been working on for the last couple of years, what you saw at the combine from a measurable standpoint. And the issue becomes with players who have medical issues. For example, someone like Tua, he's the most famous example that I can think of heading into this draft, where you know this is a guy who would likely have been, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the number one overall pick in this year's draft if there weren't any concerns about the hip and the ankle injuries that he's had. So in those situations, yeah, it's going to be an issue. But even if you had the medical, say all teams had the ability to medically test Tua today, there would still be concern whether or not this guy could stay healthy from a durability standpoint once he becomes an NFL player.
He's Zach Zabin, and yes, he is making a lot of sense today, I have to admit, even though I disagree with him. He's in for Mully this week. We're going to get Brad Biggs' thought on the NFL draft being possibly moved back. What does he think, as well as the Cam Newton speculation? Biggs' time is next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week, and we're pleased to bring in Brad Biggs, a football man from the Chicago Tribune. And Brad joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we're having a lively debate here. Zach and I kind of disagree a little bit on the recommendation from the GM subcommittee, a story that broke on ESPN last night, that they recommended to Roger Goodell moving the draft back from April 23rd because of the COVID-19 pandemic and what that is, how that's complicated the pre-draft process in terms of having facilities closed, Brad, and you know all the research that goes into testing and evaluation and just getting to know these guys. What do you think about the recommendation, and would you push it back?
Well, I guess my first reaction is I'm not surprised. If they're not going to delay the start of the new league year, they're not going to push back the draft. And I think the NFL probably from its standpoint, from a league standpoint, not necessarily the individual teams or the GMs, but the NFL, number one, it wants to
make sure there's a level playing field. And some states have work from home orders in place right now. And so the NFL has said, okay, we'll take care of that. All facilities are closed now, beginning this evening at, I believe, 5 p.m. So now it's not like a team in one state can go to work at the office and a team in another state has to have everybody working from home and trying to communicate via the phone or conference call or Zoom or whatever. So I think the NFL wants a level playing field. It believes it's going to achieve that. You know, is it going to make a huge difference in the draft? Yeah, I think it's going to have an impact in terms of some of the available medical information, but let's not overstate it. Let's not say that you've got these final 4 weeks where all this work is left to be done that hasn't been completed, because honestly, the scouts that are out on the road, and some of these guys are logging, you know, upwards of 200 nights a year in hotels. So these guys are out there and getting after it. These guys have been working on this draft class since shortly after last year's draft. So a ton of information has been compiled. You can't get that final medical information. You can't do the visits with the guys, but they're allowed to do these video calls with some of these prospects that they want to interview. They have to log them in the same nature that they would actual top 30 visits to the facility. So they're still able to communicate with these guys. It's not in an ideal situation, but in the world we're in right now, very little is ideal.
Yeah, I think, Brad, that what people don't understand is that if you've fallen in love with a player, it's already happened, and you've done the necessary background work. You understand what this guy can do in games based on what the player did in college via the tape. You have an idea of where he is medically. And for example, and I always use the Tua example because I think everyone around the country can relate to this. Here's a guy who likely would have been maybe the number one overall pick of this year's draft. I don't think there are many questions about his ability to perform when healthy. But the question is, when healthy? It's not just the hip, it's the ankles that have been an issue over the course of his college career. And even if he underwent a medical today with each team, that doesn't mean that there wouldn't be any questions about his durability going forward into the draft. Teams know who they want to take at this stage of the game. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. At the very minimum, they've got, Ryan Pace has used the term before, clouds, you know, where you're talking about a team having the number 8 pick, and so they're dealing with a group of, I mean, at most 4 or 5 guys that they're really kind of dialed in at that position, thinking about and weighing how they would fit, what they want to do. The number's probably even lower than that by this point. So I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on things. Yeah, listen, do I understand why the GMs would like the thing to be postponed? No question. I get that, but I also don't think this is going to have a huge adverse effect on things moving forward. Is it slightly tone deaf? Yeah, maybe, but the NFL also has to proceed so that things are kind of in shape and in order and taken care of when hopefully we can return to some level of normalcy.
Brad, tremendous reporting this morning in the Chicago Tribune and ChicagoTribune.com. You tracked down Brock Olivo, the former Bears assistant special teams coach who is in Italy. He's been quarantined in Rome for the past 2 weeks. He's there trying to pursue his career as a football coach and to be with his daughter and his girlfriend. And there's a poignant picture of him on the balcony playing a guitar as he is quarantined, and just tremendous writing and reporting. And this story, he answered the phone, as you point out, saying, "I'm alive." And it kind of hits home. We all are, you know, making the best use of our time as we can. But that conversation you had with Brock yesterday for 30 minutes had to be one you're going to remember for a long time.
Yeah, the thing that I think I was able to learn from talking to Brock Olivo was, you know, where life is like when you're multiple weeks into this sort of stay-in-place order, and they've got even more than a stay-in-place order going on in Rome and throughout Italy right now. So just talking to him about how he's dealing with that. And then the thing that I found interesting was Brock went over to Italy shortly after he was fired, so early January, and he spent a couple weeks. Then he came back to the U.S. for a few weeks, and he was hoping to hook on with another NFL team, would probably have considered some NCAA options. Things didn't materialize. He said that's okay. He knew he could get a coaching option over there that's probably not going to pay him a whole lot of money, but as you said, his girlfriend's there, his daughter's there, he wanted to be near his daughter. And he went back on February 14th, which was 4 days before the first positive test in that country for coronavirus, and it started to spread in northern Italy at first. But I asked him, I said, geez, I said, when it got to like late February and it was really starting to pick up in Italy, did you consider then, hey, why don't I go to the airport and hop a ticket back to the States, like get out of there? And mm-hmm. he said no, that he thought it was going to be everywhere at some point, and he wanted to be near those that he loved, and he was going to prepare the best he could and ride out the storm.
I think the sobering reality, and we've heard this over the last couple of weeks here in the States, that, you know, we're trying to avoid what's happening in Italy. And listening to or just reading what happens once you get sick over there, and I thought to me that the thing that really hit home is when he told you, quote, a lot of people have perished here and a lot more will, and you can't say goodbye to them, that people are dying alone because of this virus. And that's why when we're told to heed here in this country the social distancing practices, take that stuff seriously, because he's on the other end of it. What'll happen there will happen here if we don't take this stuff seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need to prepare for this now and go through the hardships now in order to try to get through this in better shape and get through it sooner, I think, and got to listen to the medical professionals. So it was an eye-opening conversation, and just glad that Brock, who I've known for quite a while, is safe right now and takes his guitar out of the balcony and plays some music every night, because it's a lot warmer over there right now than it is here. He said they're regularly in the 70s, so you get some beautiful evenings. You can imagine how full the streets would be at night if everything was fine, but he's on the balcony playing music. I don't know if he's getting to quite as much country as Dave would prefer. But,
no, probably not. Kenny Rogers on the guitar there, Brad, maybe. That would be a good choice. It was a really great story, and people need to check it out. ChicagoTribune.com and Chicago Tribune this morning. Brad, before we let you go, back to football and the Bears speculation, and you know how this goes, because anytime that there's a veteran and Ryan Pace has basically declared it's a win-now proposition 2020. Cam Newton, Trent Williams, thoughts on either guy, and if they came up in conversation in a tele-meeting with, or a Zoom meeting with Ryan Pace and his staff, how would it go?
Well, I can guarantee you the Panthers called the Bears about Cam Newton. The Panthers were looking to see if they could get something for Cam Newton, and so they were calling teams that have quarterback issues. That, you know, the Bears wanted to go with Nick Foles. I think we've covered why. The experience that the coaches have with them is number one, and it's not just one or two of the coaches. It's three of the offensive coaches. Cam, and listen, Foles missed. He was out half the season last year with the clavicle injury, did return. Cam Newton has got ongoing medical questions, and I saw a report that he passed a physical given to him by third-party doctors in Atlanta, where he lives in the off-season, which he needed to pass before the Panthers could release him. Otherwise, they would have had to cut him injured, and then he could have possibly pursued a settlement of sorts from the Carolina Panthers. But no team is going to rely on the word of a third-party doctor when it comes to the quarterback position. They're going to want to look at the guy himself. So Newton may have to wait a while, and he's probably going to have to adjust his sights in terms of a contract. As far as Trent Williams, the left tackle for the Redskins that held out all last season and did not play, a lot of the talk around him back during last year and even early this offseason was a medical condition that he had that he didn't think that the team had handled properly. And there's definitely something to that, but that's a secondary issue to the number one thing for Trent Williams, and that's that he has desired to have a new contract for some time. Trent Williams is due to earn $12.5 million this year, okay? And he's looking for a substantial pay raise over that with an extension. And so it's not about the Redskins seeking too much in terms of compensation for Trent Williams. I think they let him go for a reasonable draft pick. It's the thought of having to combine a draft pick in terms of compensation and then stack some new money on the 1 year remaining in this guy's deal. And he's not young anymore. And so some of these teams that potentially have left tackle needs in this draft, there's some really good ones that could go in round one. There's three or four tackles that I think are pretty talented. And so you might not want to trade for Trent Williams at his age and with his contract demands if you think you identify a tackle that you like and you might be able to get in the draft. The Bears simply can't afford to bring in a guy like that with their cap situation and pay him.
Good stuff, Brad. Appreciate it. Stay safe today, and really great story on Brock Olivo in today's Chicago Tribune. Good stuff. Thanks, Bigsy.
My Cam Newton landing spots, New England or the Chargers? Those would be my top two guesses.
Ooh, intriguing. Those are the two that we mentioned earlier, Zach. And thanks, Brad. Appreciate your time. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of those fits and whether or not Cam Newton or Jameis Winston or maybe, you know, they're still out there. And why are they still out there? And who is maybe, you know, who's interested in bringing them aboard? Because the idea of Cam Newton in New England playing for Bill Belichick, I just think that would be tremendous theater. We'll talk about that next. Zach Zabin's in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.